I sure want to hear him say, well done, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'd like for the Lord to help us today. I'd like for the Lord to touch us. I'd like for the Lord to minister to us. I believe we're in the last hour of time. I really do. I think we're in that last stretch. I think we've got to get ready if we're going to get ready. I think we've got to get ready. I think the Lord is dealing with the hearts of men and women, trying to get them ready. I was praying this morning. The Lord laid a burden on my heart for somebody, and I was, you know how you try to do? You try to get in that place of intercession, trying to pray for them. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Trying to cry and pray for them and weep. Church still believes in that, don't we? Amen. Getting that place of intercession. Man, I thought sure they might be here today, but they're not. Just trust the Lord, that the Lord will help them. I'm telling you, if you were looking for an excuse, a way out, the devil will make sure you got one. He'll keep you out of the house of God and keep you away from the house of God. Brother Josh was talking about the song that Brother Claude Ely wrote, Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down. I heard one old man preaching on the rapture of the church one time, and he said, we need not talk about, ain't no grave gonna hold our body down when the cover holds us down on Sunday morning. I thought that's pretty good, don't you? I thought that's pretty good. I know people in that shape today, they can't get to church on Sunday morning because the cover's too heavy. I ain't talking about being sick. I'm just talking about being lazy. That's what I'm talking about. Not being sick. I mean, we all have extenuating circumstances. I'm just talking about being too lazy to get up and come to the house of God. And if folks are too lazy to come to church, they're probably too lazy to go to heaven, ain't they? Just the way it is. It's just the facts of the matter. So, oh, I'd like for the Lord to help us today. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 1 again today, if the Lord will help us. The book of Romans chapter number 1. Going back to the same subject I was at last Sunday. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, if the Lord will help us today. And we'll read on down into verse 23. Romans chapter 1. From the time that I was just a boy and started reading the Bible, Romans chapter 1 has always intrigued me. I've probably read and studied Romans chapter 1 more than any other chapter in the Bible, probably. And beyond a shadow of doubt, I've studied it more than any other chapter in the Bible. It just intrigues me. These verses always have intrigued me, and they still speak to my heart every time that I read them. And in the light of where we're at today in our society, it's even more relevant, I feel like, now than ever. It's just Bible coming to pass, and yes, God speaking to us through His Word. Yes. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. I want you to notice that today. Not just the fact that the creation of the world is clearly seen and understood, the things that are made, but the Scripture says even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. We'll stop there today. That's as far as we'll get this morning. Trust the Lord will add His blessing to His word. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us today. Father, I thank You today, Lord, for Your goodness to us. Thank You, God, for Your help. Thank You, Lord, for Your touch in this time. God, pray that You'd help us today. Pray, God, that You'd let Your Spirit be upon us, God. Anoint us with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, God. Let it come upon us, God. Let conviction come into this house today.
Help me, God, to say those things that you're happy to say. God, help me to say not one thing, Lord, that you wouldn't have me to say, God. Let your spirit be in this place and touch us today.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Preaching today again, if the Lord will help us on this subject of the wrath of God. The wrath of God. I pray the Lord will open our understanding today and stir our hearts with the truth of his word today as we continue to explore this great timeless truth of the wrath of God towards sin. I want to start today by presenting to you this statement that the wrath of God is a proven fact. I think we established this last week quite well, that the wrath of God is not something to be argued, it's something to be believed. It is, in fact, the Bible doesn't seek to prove that there is such a thing as the wrath of God. It merely states the wrath of God as being a reality, that it is real. We talked about how that God is a God of love. But at the same time, he is also a God of intense wrath. His wrath today is revealed. It is revealed in the world that we live in today. It's already revealed. There's coming a time, we talked about it, a time of the perfect revelation of the righteous judgment of God, when wrath without mercy, wrath undiluted, is poured out upon the world. Josh touched upon that time in his teaching. But I want you to understand today that the wrath of God is already revealed right now in the world that we are living in today. It's already being experienced in the world today. But not only is it revealed in the world today, but it will be experienced throughout all of eternity by every person who leaves this world without a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the thing today. Here's the thing today. Being a preacher, being a minister, being a church member, all we have to look at is the outside of people. And from the outside this morning, this congregation sitting here is a good-looking bunch of people to me. Looks to me like most folks are ready. But here's the problem today. We don't know what God knows. And we do not know what is in the hearts of men and women. And here's the fact today. It all comes down to that one question. Do we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? And if not, we are doomed for an eternity where we will experience the wrath of God unmingled without mercy throughout all of eternity. How many people believe that? Wave your hand at the preacher this morning. Amen. Some may wonder why God even possesses wrath as part of his nature. The answer to this question is found in this text today that I want to share with you some things that's on my heart, that's burning on my heart this morning. God tells us in this text and in his word, the clearest way that he can, the reasons why that his wrath is kindled against the children of this world. Last week I tried, and the Lord helping me to establish the fact of what is the wrath of God. And today I want to try to share with you why the wrath of God is kindled against the children of disobedience of this world. The first reason is this morning, that man is ungodly by nature. Do you all believe that today? We are all born into sin. Nobody's born into righteousness. Nobody's born into salvation. Every one of us today that is born of man and born of woman, we are by nature ungodly, and every person must be born again. Does the Church of God still believe that today? There must be a born again experience. I know that people today get tired. I know you're probably tired of hearing me harp upon this subject because it seems like I harp upon it all the time. But it scares me because I was blessed with this blessed gift of growing up in church. It's the greatest gift. I'm telling you, it's such a blessing to be raised in the house of God. But with that, it's one of the most dangerous things that I can imagine, because we've seen it happen, how that people are raised in church and they become familiar with the ins and outs of church. I thought about how these little kids were singing so wonderful, and how tonight Jackson may bring his guitar and play it, and they'll shout and they'll dance and they'll run, and they learn all the ins and outs of church from an early age. But how oftentimes we've seen it, they learn all the ins and outs of church, but they never do get a personal relationship with the Lord of glory. And it's good to know about God, but there's a difference in knowing about God and really knowing God. Do y'all know what I'm talking about today? It's not just enough to know about God. You've got to know God on a personal level. And that's where we're at today in Pentecost. That's where we're at in holiness. There's never been a day when we have had any more knowledge about God than we've got right now. But we're in need in this hour of a personal relationship with God that affects us from the inside out. Oh, help me today, God. Woo! I feel the Lord on my heart. Listen to me today. You can know about Jesus and go to hell. You can know about the Trinity and go to hell. You can be a preacher and go to hell. You can be a church member and go to hell. You can be a deacon and go to hell. You can be a preacher's kid and go to hell. You can be raised in the Holiness Church and be an old gray-haired saint that lived in holiness for 50 years and go to hell if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that affects your life. I still say today, God, help me to preach to this church. It will still change your life. It'll change you from the inside out. Yeah, it will. Yeah, it will. Hallelujah. Help me today, Lord. Oh, listen to me. Listen to this preacher preach to you today. I'm telling you, man is ungodly by nature. It is not an option. You must be born again. Let me preach here to our young people today, and let me ask you this question. Have you ever came to the altar? Have you ever came to the altar and felt convicted of your sin and got down? I know some of you are going to accuse me of being a Baptist this morning, but I want to ask you the question. Did you get down on your knees and accept the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the blood. Come into my heart. Be not just my Savior, but be the Lord of my life. If you haven't made that step today, I'm telling you, you're headed for an eternity where the wrath of God is upon your life. Oh, listen. Oh, help me today, Lord. Man is ungodly by nature today. He's born that way. He's born that way. That's his nature. That's how he is. His Adamic nature. That's the whole purpose of the regeneration and the rebirth, becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus. But oh, it's not just by nature this morning. But here's what I want to preach to you about today. It's by choice. It is by choice that men remain ungodly. This means that, and I'm going to just try to share what's on my heart with you today. This means that he has no relationship with God. And because he has no relationship with God, he has no relationship with his fellow man. That's why there's so much violence and so much wickedness and so much ungodliness in the world that we're living in today. That's why men are murdering men and taking their lives, and why our prison systems are overflowing today, until now we're turning people loose simply because we don't have the capacity to keep them and cause them to serve out their prison sentences. We're living in the most wicked, vile world that you can ever imagine, and it seems to be getting worse every day. But the reason we're treating each other in the world like we are is because there's a broken relationship with God. Oh, yes. Man this morning is in an open rebellion. Brother Raleigh, he's in an open rebellion this morning. There you are, praise God. In an open rebellion this morning against the Lord, and he's there by his own choice this morning. Another sign of man's rebellion this morning is the fact that he knows the truth about God. I want to get into this a little deeper here in a minute. The Lord will help me. But listen, even though he knows the truth, he holds, it's what the scripture teaches us, or he suppresses the truth. He knows the truth, yet he suppresses the truth. Man willfully suppresses the truth of God, so he may simply continue on in his sin. That's where we're at in the world we're living in. Men suppress the truth of God so they can hold on to their sin, because mankind is absolutely enslaved by his sin. Y'all say amen to the preacher this morning. Is this all right with you all? Woo! Somebody asked me just this morning, what's wrong with that person? Why? What's wrong? Not anybody in the church, but one of my neighbors in my community. What's wrong with him? Why is he acting like he's acting? Why is he living like that? He's not always been that way. What's wrong? I said, because he's became a slave to his sin. His sin has enshackled him until he's no longer able to do what he wants to do. There was a time they could suppress it. There was a time they could hold it down. There was a time they had control over it. But now they have yielded themselves members to this so long, until now it's became their master, and they have became its slave. And now it dictates to them how they live, and it controls how they think, and it controls where they go, and it controls how they act. Listen, it's still a truth of God's word today. If you yield your servants, members, to sin, you're going to end up being the slave of sin, and Satan will end up being your master. Woo! Oh, God, would you help me today? Help me, God, to get past all of this and preach your word like you laid it on my heart today. Oh, listen to me today. Beyond that, it's not just that men suppress the truth of God, but the fact is that men stubbornly hold on to their sins while they seek to undermine the truth of God. Have I lost you all today? I ask myself the question, what is the truth that men of our day is trying to suppress? And it's right here in this text. And it's the very reason that men will come under the wrath of Almighty God, is because they suppress the truth. What is the truth they suppress, preacher? I believe the truth they suppress is the very revelation of God himself. I think that's the truth they're suppressing this morning, is the very revelation of God himself. You see, God has a strong desire to reveal himself unto mankind. You understand it today? What a strong desire he must have to reveal himself unto men. He has such a strong desire today. Am I boring you all? He has such a strong desire to reveal himself unto men, that God manifested himself in the flesh. The Godhead became bodily in the Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we see a manifestation of God. And he came to this earth for the purpose to reveal himself unto mankind. God gave us this blessed book. How many people thank God for a Bible? Woo! My God in heaven, it lays dormant in many homes, in many Christian homes today. The Word of God lays dormant, and they don't read it, Brother John Anderson, and they don't study it, and they don't hide it in their heart. But I
tell you, this is a revelation of God unto men. If you want to know what God's like, read the Bible. If you want to know what God thinks, read the Bible. I wish you'd help me preach today. If you want to know how God feels about something, read the Word of God. Oh God. Woo. Oh, listen. God wants to reveal himself unto you and I. Oh, what a blessing privilege it is this morning. What a blessing privilege it is this morning. It so burdens my heart in the hour we're living in, how the lackadaisical people are about coming to the house of God. Listen, I may not be your favorite preacher. I may not tickle your fancy, but you didn't come because of me this morning. You came because of God, and you came to receive a revelation of the Word of God and the truth of God. We're here today because we're wanting to see God. We're wanting to hear His voice. We're wanting to experience His Spirit. We're gathered here today because we want God to reveal Himself unto us. Oh, God. God manifests himself in so many ways. I've already talked to you about some of them, but every day, I've got to hurry today for the sake of time. I promised myself I wouldn't hold you as late as I have been. Oh, listen. Listen, God manifests himself in so many ways every day that we live. Every day that we live, God is manifesting himself to every person that lives upon the face of the earth. Paul says here in this text, he says that God is revealed and the quote is in them. Notice this. Notice this today. The ideal is that men have all the truth they need to come to know God within themselves. Now listen, I'm not telling you that this takes away from coming to church or assembling ourselves together. I'm not talking about going on to perfect holiness, brethren, in the fear of God and getting more of God. But listen, God appears to every man. And within every man, Brother Raleigh, I believe with all of my being, God reveals himself enough to every man that every man will have the knowledge that there is a God in heaven. The Creator God. Is this all right today? The Creator God puts down in men the truth that He is real. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto what church? All men. All men, every man, hallelujah. My God in heaven, God so desires that men will turn from their rebellion and turn to the righteous revelation of God, that He allows His Spirit to touch the heart of every man and let him know, I am God. There is a God in heaven. I'm sorry. A very young girl, we all know this morning, all of you here this morning know Helen Keller. And I'm not going to go into Helen Keller's story, but Helen Keller was a girl that was stricken by disease that left her blind, deaf, and mute. She couldn't see, she couldn't hear. She couldn't speak. There's another woman that you probably know the story by the name of Ann Sullivan who gave herself absolutely tirelessly and selflessly to help the little girl, Helen Keller, learn how to communicate. After much time and much effort and much sacrifice, Helen Keller learned to communicate through touch. Eventually, they tell me that she even learned how to talk at one point, was able to speak some. But there came a point when Ann Sullivan was to the place that she thought she could talk to this little girl that had been deaf, mute, and blind about God. She thought she had her to the place that they could communicate enough to where she could tell Helen Keller about God. Somebody that had never heard. Somebody that had never seen. Woo! Somebody that had never spoke, Brother John. When she got to the place she could communicate through touch alone, Josh. When Ann Sullivan told her there's a God in heaven, this little deaf, mute, blind girl that had never heard a word, never seen a picture, never was able to speak a word, said, I know there's a God, but somebody tell me what's his name. Whew. Whew. I know there's a God. She'd never been in a church service. She'd never heard a sermon. She couldn't read the Bible. But the grace of God that brings salvation appeared to a little deaf, mute, blind girl. And down in her spirit, let her know there's a God in heaven. Woo! My God, you know his name. You know his name. His name ought to be on your lips. His praise ought to be in your heart. His service ought to be in your life. Ain't you glad for a revelation of the God of heaven? Whew. Help me to preach today, Lord. Help me to preach today, Lord. We can see. We can hear. We can speak. Whoo! Oh, listen, you can be seated if you want to. I'm going to go on and preach a while. The Lord will help me. Oh, listen. Listen today. Listen today. Look around us. Look around us. Whoo! My God, we can see what Helen Keller couldn't see. I tell you, look around this morning. You walk outside the doors of this church house. I challenge you. I felt like when I was praying this morning that the devil was battling somebody in this house today about, is God even real? Does God even care? You say, that's foolishness, preacher. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. I tell you, if he can get you to give up on the truth, there is a God in heaven, he's got you. Because if there ain't a God in heaven, there ain't no salvation. If there ain't a God in heaven, there ain't no hope. Hallelujah. My God, I challenge you to walk out the back doors of this church. Just look around right outside in this parking lot. I challenge you to look around just a little bit and tell me if there isn't a God in heaven this morning. It's no wonder. Oh, I gotta hurry. It's no wonder the fool, the Bible said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Listen, I want to preach on, if that's all right with you all today, can you stand a little more? Listen, listen, the purpose of this great revelation of God is for but this one intent, and that is to force men and women into a moment of decision. That's the whole purpose of this revelation of God, is to force men and women into a place of decision. God's desire is that every person bow before Him in humble repentance and worship Him. That's God's desire for mankind this morning, is for us to bow before Him in humble repentance and worship of Him for who He really is. However, here's a sad fact this morning. Not all will. It's just a sad fact of the matter. Some people absolutely will not. They will choose. They will choose to deny. They will choose to refuse this very revelation of God that God has given unto mankind. But God tells us in His word to not make any mistake about it. They may refuse it, but they'll not be without excuse. I'm racing against that clock. Oh, God. When man has to face the truth this morning of God and he makes his stand against God, he has moved from the place of refusal into the realm of rejection. Do you have any people understand that this morning? When men refuse the truth of God, they begin to make their stand against God and they go over in that place of rejection. This text today, I feel like I'm boring you. This text today gives me two areas. Help me preach, Lord. It gives me two areas in which the rejection of God is seen in the life of an individual. First of all, the Bible said they gave God no glory. That is, they refuse to magnify and exalt God for who He really is. Woo! Oh, how can we have a revelation of God and somebody have to beg us to praise Him? My Lord. I know I'm preaching too long and I apologize. Listen, men fail to honor God when they refuse to give Him the place in their lives that He deserves. Here's how you give God glory. It's not just with your lips. That's the next point we're going to make. But Brother Tim Hagnott, we give God glory by giving God His rightful place in our life. That's how we give God glory. Listen, how many people would say God deserves first place? You all quiet this morning. Come on, wave at the preacher. Help me preach. You believe God deserves first place? Oh, I think He deserves first place. I really do. I think He can ask of me anything that He wants. I believe He's got a right to ask of me anything that He wants. He don't have to give me an explanation. He don't have to explain it to me. He don't have to make sure it passes my test. My God, He's God in heaven. He's Almighty God. He's Almighty God. He's Eternal God. He's the Heavenly Father. I tell you, He's got the right to ask me anything He wants to. He can make any demand that He desires for my life. And yet, when we really get it summed up, all He asked me for is make me first in your life. All He asked me for, Kevin, love me with all your heart. Love me with all your soul. Love me with all your mind. Love me with all your strength. All I'm asking for is for first place in your life. Woo! Oh, y'all believe that today? I apologize to you. Woo! God deserves first place. But many men in our day walk in unrighteousness and open rebellion against the Lord. and they give him no place. He deserves first place, but they give him no place. He is not glorified in them. And as a result, he is filled with wrath at the foolishness and sinfulness of men. Hallelujah. Second point is they simply were not thankful. They gave God no gratitude. Woo! They simply were not thankful. I feel like y'all done got off the wagon, so I just go ahead and say what I feel like saying. I feel like a cheerleader when I come to church. Woo! My God. My God, he said, come into his courts with thanksgiving. Come into his courts with praise. Don't wait on the preacher to ask you. Don't wait on the song leader to ask you. Don't wait on somebody testifying to ask you. Oh God, he is my God. He is my Lord. He is. I've got a righteous revelation of God, and I want to show him gratitude. Amen. Amen. Listen to me today. I'm not trying to rebuke you in any way. God knows my heart. But I'm telling you, God can take his hand off us just like he laid it on us. It's his blessing. It's his goodness. It's his mercy. It's his long suffering. It's his anointing. And I tell you, if we're not thankful, he'll take it off us and do it to somebody that appreciates it. Woo! Oh, God. Help me right here, Lord. Help me right here, Lord. He didn't come to save us, Helena. God being eternal, God knowing all things, he knew what was going to happen. He didn't leave glory and come to earth to save you and I sitting in this tabernacle this morning. He came first for his own. But they received him not. He revealed himself unto them. Ooh, it's like Josh was saying. My God, everything lined up, line upon line, precept upon precept. It lined up, and God revealed himself unto his chosen people, and they would not allow him to glorify himself within them, and they rejected him and turned their back upon him, and they were not thankful. They gave him no glory. They showed him no gratitude, and he left them. He left those that he came for. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But he said to them, there's publicans, there's sinners, there's harlots, there's those that are away from God. I'll go to them, and they'll gladly receive me, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I tell you this morning, we need to be thankful. We need to give God some glory. We need to show God some gratitude. Oh, help me, Lord. I know I'm preaching too long, but I need to go a little farther. Whoo! Oh, God. How can saved people not thank him every day? Whoo! He didn't have to save me, but he did. I feel the Holy Ghost. Listen this morning. Because they rejected the Lord and His truth, they were given over to wretched lives. I'll get into more of this next Sunday if the Lord will help me. But right here in the scripture it says vain imaginations. That simply means hollow. Hollow lives. They're living for themselves, or so they think. In reality, they're simply wasting their time. Their days are filled with themselves, but eventually those days will end. And they'll find their time's been wasted and entirely in vain. Listen today. What does it mean? If a man accomplishes great things in this life and in the end goes to hell. The answer is, it means that he's wasted his life. It had been far better for him to have never been born in the first place. I'm saying this as humble as I know how. It'd be better off for a man to have never been born than to receive a revelation of God and reject it. Woo! If he dies without Jesus, if he dies without Jesus, he lost the only thing he ever possessed, and that was his soul. That's the only thing. When it gets right down to it, Brother Jeff, I don't own my house. I don't own my car. All this stuff is lended to us of the Lord, Brother Raleigh. But God gave us one thing. He gave us our soul. And we possess our souls. And at the end of the day, that's the only thing we really own is our soul. That's the only thing we've really got a say about. That's the only real thing we've really got any control over is our soul. And what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Oh, I wish somebody help this preacher preach just a few more minutes in this house. Is somebody's soul worth us staying here just a few minutes this morning? Is somebody's soul worth letting a preacher ramble on just a few more minutes this morning? Oh, listen to me. You're going to lose your soul. You're going to lose your soul. That's the thing this morning. That's what's at stake. That's what's at stake. What's the fuss about, preacher? I tell you what the fuss is. The fuss is about the souls of men. The text says that when they turn their backs on the light of God's truth, listen what he says, disturb my heart. Their foolish heart was darkened. When they turned their backs on the light of God's truth, their foolish heart was darkened. When men seem not to, what men seem not to understand is that the only alternative to light is darkness. Whew. That's the only alternative this morning. People say, I won't go very far. Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will. The only alternative to rejecting the light of God's holy, righteous revelation is the darkness of sin and Satan. As they move farther away from the light, they move farther into the dark. Give me just 5 minutes and I promise I'm going to let you go. When man turns on the Lord and closes his eyes to the truth of God, he really thinks he's wise. Yeah, look at our day. Look at our day. We don't have time to go into it. But look at our day. His perception of himself is that he has everything figured out, everything covered. In reality, God says that while they think they're so smart, they're nothing short of fools. When men say no to God, when men say no to God, he turns them around. Man turns around and begins to invent things to worship. He told us plainly in the scripture. They started creating things to worship. the popular opinion of our day. Give me just a few minutes. I apologize to you all. I'm sorry for boring you so bad this morning. The popular opinion of our day is evolution. That we came from creatures and we evolve into man. But God sets the record straight right here. He says it's not evolution. It's not evolving, but it's devolving. When man turns from God, he begins on a downward spiral. And he begins to create creatures to worship. He begins to create creatures to worship. When he turns from God, he doesn't progress upward like our society says. He regresses downwards. He regresses downwards. Oh God, a life without God is a life on a downward, downward, downward spiral. Walking away from God doesn't prove you're wise. It merely proves that you're a fool. It proves that you want your life to be a disaster. And it proves you want your eternity to be a failure. Stand all over the house. I've wore you out long enough. I wish I could preach. I never felt any more like a failure of a preacher than I have here lately. To the world's eyes, the Christian is the biggest fool in existence. To the world this morning, the Christian is the biggest fool in existence. He misses out on all the pleasures of the world. He places his faith in someone who died over 2,000 years ago on a cross that he never seen. He believes that he rose from a grave, and he believes he ascended back to heaven, and he looks for him to return at any moment. But from God's perspective this morning, the wisest decision any person has ever made is to place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll say this morning as I hush. I'd rather be perceived a fool today than to live in sin and prove that I'm a fool at the end of the road.
Come on. That's right.
Let the world think what they want to think this morning. Let people say whatever they want to say this morning. I'd rather walk through this life and them say, look at that fool going there, following after Jesus Christ, than to get down at the end of this road and hear God say, depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. The world says following Jesus is foolish. But Sister Ruby, we ain't living for what the world says. I think the world's foolish. That's what I think. I think they're the fools. Because I'm not living for this world. I'm living for a world to come. Father, you know my burden today. You've heard my prayers. I do not know what else to do. God, help us today. Speak to the hearts of people. Do what I can do, God. I know it's not in me. I know it's not in my ability. I surrender to your spirit. I surrender to your help. God, hide me in the cross. Let them not hear me or see me, but let them hear you and feel your spirit. Deal with our hearts today. Oh, God, help us to understand. We can cover it up. We can mask it. We can conceal it. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day. And it's all going to be in the open. And it's all going to be in the light. And we'll stand before you with nothing to hide behind. No excuses. But we'll stand before you and give an account for the righteous revelation that you have given to us. Help us to take heed this morning to understand that to whom much is given, of the same shall much be required. And let us not be found unprofitable servants today, but let us be found faithful. Let us be found true. Let us be found watching. Let us be found ready. Let us be found with your glory in our hearts and your gratitude upon our lips. Let us be found, oh God, as those who dare to follow Jesus Christ with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their might, with all of their strength. God, if we be considered fools, let us be found fools for your sake, for your name's sake. Oh God, if you'll do these things, I give you the praise and the honor and glory. For it's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. This altar is open today if you'd like to pray with us. We'd like for you to come pray with us today. May God bless you today. We'd like for you to come pray with us. Come seek the Lord with us today. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
All the things
oh,
that
hallelujah.
I love
oh, hallelujah.
And hold dear